us. Ismail Mohsin Mulla from Spice World, Ladysmith, 375 Merchant Street, inside Right Price. We say Jazakallah Khairan to our sponsor for that. And in the studios, built-in studios of Radio Islam at the edge of the Istima, we have Maulana Muhammad Kara as well. Maulana, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Maulana, to in our lessons of Radio Islam International.
How are you this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana Saf.
Well, it's been over just 24 hours that we arrived in Ladysmith, and we had our broadcast yesterday. We attended the program that took place last night. Perhaps for the benefit of our listeners, would you like to highlight some of the main important points that were discussed? Obviously, we don't want you to give a whole bayan once again, but just some of the core points and important points that you can take and our listeners can benefit, Maulana.
Yes, listeners of Radio Islam International, we have been broadcasting from the edge of the Ijtima in Ladysmith from Friday night, alhamdulillah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept. And yes, alhamdulillah, lovely bayan last night by Mufti Asif Saab, I think from Pakistan. Translation also by Maulana Asif Saab, local from KZN area. Beautiful bayan, Maulana Saab. There's so many points. I'm just going to mention one, two important points. As Maulana Saab, spoke about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we have to recognize the greatness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talking about insan, the reality of insan, that Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmil kullu untha, wa ma taghidu al-arham, wa ma tazdad. And Maulana was talking about, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows that every female bears. Spoke about the creation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's knowledge, subhanallah. With regards to Allah being aware of all the developments that take place in the child while it is in its mother's womb, and that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala watches over the decrease or increase in each of its limbs. And Maulana regarding the subhanAllah, many examples Maulana gave. Just one example regarding the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Mufti Asif Saab spoke about the creation of insan, that the matter of the creation of one of you is put together in the womb of the mother in 40 days. It becomes a clot of blood, subhanAllah, a thick blood for a period of 40 days again. Then he becomes mudha, he becomes a piece of flesh for another 40 days. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends an angel who is ordered to write four things. He's ordered to write down his provisions, his lifespan, his a'mal, and whether he will be shaqiyun or sa'idun, whether he will be a wretched person, or whether he will be a blessed person. Maulana, lovely examples Hazrat Maulana Sam gave. I just managed to jot down a few of them. Maulana also mentioned that we are all negligent and ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are negligent of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Sahib says, you know what, every insan, we are all dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse quoted was that, Ya ayyuhan nas, O insan, antumul faqara'u ilallah. You are all faqara, you are all faqir, you are all dependent upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Sahib gave the example, Maulana Sahib, so just correct me if I'm mistaken here. Maulana Sahib said that Mufti Sahib said in Pakistan there was an accident some time ago, and I think he was a witness to this. The brother got severely injured, and I think he was a doctor as well. With the result, his eyelashes were removed. His eyelashes were removed. Imagine. This brother, with the result of him losing his eyelashes, he went to doctors around the entire world. In fact, he went to Spain, he went to the UK, he went to the United States of America. You know, with the result, we find that he couldn't blink. He just couldn't blink. But all the doctors, many, many different countries, Maulana Saab quoted about four or five countries, nobody could help him. And this caused him great, immense difficulty. What could be done? The doctors told him the only thing that will help you is that you've got to continuously throw water into your eyes. You've got to continuously throw water in your eyes. He says he tried this for a few days. He got tired in the end. They had to remove his eyesight. With the result, this affected the skin on his face as well. And he told the doctors that if you can fix me, help me with my condition, I will give you whatever wealth I have. Regarding this, we find that are we appreciating the ni'mat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Regarding this, Maulana Sahib gave the example again that the Jamaat, I think he was in the Jamaat, they went out, and I think there are some brothers from Australia, they met out in some country, and it was meals time, and after meals it was time to relax. Maulana Sahib says one of the brothers asked the Jamaat Satis, you know what, here's bedding for you, you can use his bedding. And also the brother says, you know what, let me tell you my story, there is no need for any bedding, because for the last 20 years I've not been able to lie down and sleep. I mean, imagine, for 20 years, I've not been able to lie down and sleep. I cannot even sit and sleep. Subhanallah. Have we realized, have we thanked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for all the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلَّهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانٌ وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْلَيْنِ. So they asked him the reason for this, that you cannot lie down and sit and sleep. What's the result? What's the problem? He says, I have a small hole in my throat. Well, the result, whatever I take in, if I have to lie down, it comes out. He says, for the last 20 years, Allah's Qasam, I've never slept in a sleeping position. Allahu Akbar, last night, alhamdulillah, we all had a lovely sleep. We laid down, beautiful dreams, subhanallah, all praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, have we failed, have we thanked Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Masab, one more example. There's so many examples, much to talk about the greatness of Allah, following the deen of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana talked about the reality of this dunya. Also, Maulana, you listened to this talk. Maulana mentioned with regards to a jamaat out in Canada. I hope you're paying attention, Mali Sahib Sahib.
Yes, anyway, yes, I was.
So, Maulana Sahib said there was a massive person there. He was, I think, approximately, he mentioned 9 foot. He was 9 feet.
Correct.
With the result, he was arrogant, he was boastful, he had this in his mind that I'm the man, I'm the most powerful. People respected him, people were scared and afraid of him. He basically ruled. He was macho man. So anyway, there was an elderly person who came to him. This elderly person looked at him in amazement, looking at his stature, his muscles, his body build. He was huge, huge, huge. So this man in his arrogance, in his pride, tells this old man, he says, look at my muscles. Just look at how powerful I am. Na'udhu billah, what he said about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I'm not even going to mention this. With the result, about his arrogance and pride, the Jama'at brothers saw that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroyed him. Allah did not use a lightning to destroy this person. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it such that this person started to shrink inch by inch in front of the entire masses until he came, Maulana Sahib said, I think, few centimeters, 10 centimeters, and then he passed away. So this is insan. We got to appreciate the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got to recognize the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And yes, inshallah, regarding this, we find that how do we recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by bringing the amal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our lives. Ji Maulana, one, two other points, inshallah. I'll leave it for later on, Ji.
Yes, Maulana, this was what happened last night. This was a main bayan that took place from Mufti Asif from Pakistan, giving to us at the Ijtima. This is to revitalize our iman. What an atmosphere it was, Maulana Karasab, that so many thousands of people were gathered in this white tent that we are sitting right across. And what inspirations were distributed after we left that majlis, after we left that gathering, our iman was revitalized. We were feeling spiritually uplifted, speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different examples. Mufti Sahib was mentioning how we can recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can recognize who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our Khalik, who is our Malik, who is our Razik. Different qualities and different attributes were mentioned, and we different examples were given, different qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were given, like in the chirping of the birds, in the poison of the snake, in the cunning fox, in the speed of cheetah, and in the human being also, different greatness qualities that are found in these people that we can recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it was mentioned. Also, Maulana, just this morning you were speaking about last night, and then this morning Rashid Bhai also spoke regarding the importance of da'wah, inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, this was a sunnah of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, all the prophets of alayhi salatu wasalam. They invited people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They invited people towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Rashid Bhai mentioned this morning, that before anything was fard, before namaz was fard, before sawm was fard, before zakat was fard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it compulsory to give da'wah and invite people towards Islam. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir wa thiyabaka fatahhir. That from this we understand that before salah, also before sawm, before zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it compulsory for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to invite people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to invite people towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, we have gathered here in this ijtima to remind ourselves what our responsibility is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that he went to the house of Abu Jahl on numerous occasions. Some ulama mentions that over 1,000 times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Abu Jahl's house to invite him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this da'wah got power and this da'wah got effect also. For 10 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through numerous and various sacrifices, various kurbanis, and even Sahaba radiallahu anhu had to give kurbani just because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving dawah, inviting kuffars towards Islam. And if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had to do that, and if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I'm stopping this dawah," then there wouldn't have been any difficulties and there wouldn't be any hardships coming towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all this happened, Maulana, it's because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inviting kuffar towards Islam and towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, this was the message that we also understood after the Fajr program regarding the importance of Dawud and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen, Jazakallah. Yes, Maulana Sahib, regarding this, we have to understand, may Allah make us realize the reality of the short-lived dunya. We are here to leave the dunya. Success, Allah, is not in wealth, it's not in, you know, in our businesses. Success is not in strength. We find success lies in following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ways shown to us by our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One example regarding the people of Aad, they were massive, they were strong, they were powerful. They used to even say that man ashaddu minna quwa, who is better than us, who is stronger than us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala send them a Nabi who to remind them that don't think that he who has created them is stronger than them. Regarding this, we find that the people refused to listen to the Nabi that was sent to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent to them just one creation of Allah, one dalil. Allah Pak sent a strong wind to them that destroyed every one of them, subhanallah, not even one of them was alive. So regarding this, we find that now who is stronger? Many, many examples must to ponder about, inshallah, bismillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I met a brother last night, Maulana, very quickly.
Yeah.
Very short incident, as I was going to the bathroom, saving some water, talking to an old friend, he was talking about a certain person in the community. Allah gave this man a lot of wealth, strength, everything, subhanallah, 4 or 5 kids, he had properties and mansions. He was talking about, you know, the Blackburg area, talking about Durban area, North Coast, properties, businesses everywhere. And he says regarding this, this person has so much of plans for his family. They were traveling, it happened about 4 years ago. Well, the result, the entire family passed away, inna lillah. And regarding this, he said the brothers of the locality spoke to him the night before he left for his journey and not knowing what was to come the next day, subhanallah. So regarding this, we find, what is our plans tomorrow? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes him son today. So today our kafan, our death couch could be ready. It could be in store, but yet we have so many plans. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the true and the correct understanding, inshallah, of the deen and the reality of this dunya, which is just deception and ghurur. Coming up, inshallah, Aziz, in the next hour and a half we have, we're going to be talking to Maulana Sadr Sahib shortly. Maulana Sahib is with us today, alhamdulillah. We're also going to be talking, hopefully, to Maulana Imran Khamisa Sahib from the Port Shepson area. We're also talking to Maulana Abdullah Khan Sahib, inshallah, from the Natal area, Jamiat al-Ulama. Maulana Mahmoud Yaqub, inshallah, will join us at around 25 past 11. And also I've spoken to Maulana Manju from the Escort area. And Maulana, inshallah, will share with us some information regarding, some interesting incidents at the madrasa in Escort. And also, inshallah, we'll talk to some of his students. So we have approximately 5-6 ulama kiram coming on board. Inshallah, we hope that all can make it to the studios of Radio Islam International.
JazakAllah, Maulana Kara. Time right now is 10 minutes to 11 o'clock. Just to remind our listeners, we are at the live. We are live from the edge of the Ijtima in Ladysmith. This is the KZN region Ijtima 2016. And this is the second day of our Ijtima broadcast. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful atmosphere. What different people from different parts of the country and also gathering here with different backgrounds. Very encouraging to see different people gathering here. So in the studios of Radio Islam, built-in studios that we have at the edge of the Ijtima, we have Maulana Yusuf Sadr Sahib, who's our host. Last time when we came in the month of Ramadan, we discussed a brief history regarding Ladysmith, and we touched regarding the city of Ladysmith and those Muslims that have contributed in this part of the world. So inshallah we'll be speaking more in details regarding the history of Ladysmith and more about Maulana's madrasa. Also Maulana's running a madrasa where currently the ulama are resting there. They are staying there by the madrasa Darul Khair on Madras Street. So we have, alhamdulillah, in the studios of Radio Islam, Maulana Yusuf Sadr Sahib. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana Sahib, jazakallah for the khidmat we have been doing for the ulama kiram, for the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in your town, Maulana Sahib, Ladysmith, beautiful town. Like they say, it is a pride of Northern Natal. And, a lot of history to this month. We were talking about the battlefields yesterday afternoon, about 240 kilos from Durban. And yes, it has a very, very rich history, subhanAllah. Maulana will talk about the history of Ladysmith regarding the notable personalities of the ulama kiram, the masajid, the madaris, and the khidmat of the deen of Allah taking place in this lovely town of Ladysmith. Ji, Maulana Sahib.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. It's so nice to be speaking to you in person, mashallah. We normally speak on the air, and now we're speaking on the ground, mashallah, to be in your beautiful company, in your wonderful company, mashallah. It's a very moving experience, mashallah, and a very pleasurable and enjoyable one as well, mashallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. The history of Ladysmith, alhamdulillah, as Mulana has mentioned, Ladysmith is the pride of Northern Natal. And one time it was famously the siege town of the north during the famous Boer War. Today, Ladysmith is the nucleus of a highly commercialized and industrialized growth point in the Tugela Basin. Ladysmith approximately lies 240 kilometers from Durban, about 330 kilometers or so from Johannesburg, 1,400 kilometers from Cape Town by road, and it is approximately at an altitude of 892 meters above sea level. The history of Ladysmith dates back to close to 140 years. It is very interesting. Its very interesting existence has three distinct eras. The first phase appears as a settlement of hardy pioneers and colonists. The second phase sees the town plunge into the depths of war and siege, and finally presents itself depicting a modern progressive town. So many of our founding fathers came as laborers in 1860, and they contributed enormously in the field of business, education, and community. So alhamdulillah, we find, Mulana, that the pioneering spirit of our elders, our seniors, our forebears that came to this town and to the whole country, in fact, their pioneering spirit, mashallah, is what led, also they contributed significantly to establish Ladysmith as an economic center. And not only this, what we have to mention is that together with progress in the economic field, mashallah, they contributed significantly to furthering the cause of Islam, to establishing Islam. So today, as we have, we say that we are at the forefront on the economic level, economic social level, alhamdulillah. At the very, very same time, we have not lagged behind in promoting the values and the ideals and the ethos of Islam. In that, today you find in Ladysmith, mashallah, there's many, many institutions, varied institutions, all dedicated to the promotion of deen, to serving deen in its various different forms. So Ladysmith is actually, it's a commercial hub of the Tugela district municipality. As we mentioned, it is halfway between Durban and Johannesburg. It is very strategically placed. It is an historical town. Often it is referred to as a village of sounds. I don't know what sounds is that, but that is the name given to it. So it is similar in outlook to other coal room towns in northern KwaZulu-Natal. Well, the first reported case of Indians coming to Natal is around 1863 to the surrounding farm areas. So that was in 1863. The momentum gathered only after 1886 with the construction of the Natal government railways, and both indentured and free Indians arrived in great numbers. A large number of people from the western part of India, which was facing extreme arid conditions, there were many hardy pioneers, and they worked in a variety of jobs that lay the bedrock of the community of today. However, if we take Ladysmith in particular, by 1875, we find that there were three Indian entrepreneurs, namely S.A. Goga, A.M. Umar, and A.M. Karwa. They were the vanguard of the Muslim commercial class in the district. From 1900 onwards, despite the anti-Asiatic sentiments in the colony, the new immigrants included members of the M.M. Amod family, the Sayyid family, the Sayyid Rasul family, the Karim and Razak family, the Isaac family, the Karwa family, the Khan family, the Jamaluddin family, the Sidat family, the Asmal and Hansa family, the Vauda family, the Goga family, the Chapta family, Chapti family. These were all families that contributed to the economic development of the town. So basically that is a brief synopsis of the history of Ladysmith.
Jazakallah for that, Mulana. The next question we want to ask you, but before you answer the question, we need to go for our news bulletin back in Lanesia. But the question regarding the Muslims, when did the Muslims arrive here in Ladysmith? And also regarding the masajids, how many masajids are here in Ladysmith, the ulama, what's the total number of ulama? And also Sufi Darbar is one of the most famous masjids here in South Africa. So brief history regarding that. But before you answer that question, we need to go quickly back to the studios of Radio Islam and take our news bulletin for 11 p.m. When we come back, inshallah, we can answer that. Just to remind our listeners, we are live from the edge of the Ijtima here in Ladysmith. This is the second day of our broadcast from here at the edge of the Ijtima. This is a KZN 2016 Ijtima. And we have in the studios of Radio Islam Maulana Yusuf Seder Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, who is the principal and founder of Darul Khair Madrasa here in Ladysmith. So we go back to the studios of Radio Islam, and inshallah we'll join our listeners after the news bulletin. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to Radio Islam International on the Sunday morning, 20th March. And this is the second day of our outside broadcast from the edge of the Ijtima here in Ladysmith. And just before the break, we had Maulana Yusuf Seder Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, the founder of Darul Khair. But now we're crossing over to the principal of Port Shepstone Muslim School, Maulana Imran Khamisa. Our listeners are very acquainted with the voice of Maulana Imran Khamisa on a weekly basis. He comes on the program with Mufti Yusuf Musa. So we have Maulana Imran Khamisa, who has also attended, who is attending this Ladysmith Ijtima all the way from Port Shepstone. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah
to you and your listeners. Maulana, jazakumullah for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to you as well. Maulana, we had to beg Maulana Sahab for a few minutes of Maulana's valuable time. Maulana, alhamdulillah, attending the Ulama Kiram Bayan. We ask Maulana Sahab to share with us 7-8 minutes, inshallah. Maulana Sahab, much appreciated and jazakallah for your time. Maulana, regarding this work of Dawah and Tabligh, the importance of Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, we had many bayana taking place yesterday, this morning as well. Maulana, with regards to this important work, would you like to give us some nasihat regarding the importance of Dawah and Tabligh?
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala wa nabi abada. All peace and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and salvation be upon our beloved master Nida Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, alhamdulillah, being in the Ijtima and in the surrounding, you know, one thing comes very clear in terms of rejuvenating us and rejuvenating our spirit and that kind of thought and inspiration to the reality in terms of life that we have to go one day. Mm. And it was so beautifully mentioned yesterday that in terms of coming into this world, we had no choice about what time is going to be, where it's going to be, and how, what conditions would surround our entry into this world. In the same manner, let's not forget that when we leave this world, we've got no choice how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and under what circumstance it's going to happen. But anything we can do is we can prepare for that. So in terms of that, I think that was something that stuck, deeply in my heart, in terms of, remembering that definitely we have to go, and we cannot keep on procrastinating and thinking, okay, I'll start tomorrow, I'll start next year. I mean, if people are coming to Ijtima and meet with an accident, you know? And a person who's preparing for the Ijtima, and he also passed away. So we never have any guarantee in terms of when we can do what. And in terms of the other beautiful nasihat, given that, you know, as you, Maulana, you asked about concerning the importance of Da'wah and Tabligh.
Si, Mama.
The thing is, in terms of a person's life, you know, the more you stay away from something, then the easier it is to get lost. You know, that is why they often, and this message has been being resonated throughout the Ijtima, that if you don't get involved in the work of Deen, if you don't get involved in the work of Deen, then you'll definitely get involved in something else. Your time is going to be used. And that particular the decision about who's going to take my time, am I going to use it for Deen? Am I allow it to pass, or am I going to use it for something other than Deen? What's going to benefit me as far as the akhirah is concerned? So not engaging in amal, what will happen is that a simple example is salah, right? If I start getting lazy with my salah, then I don't think it's important, and then I slowly give it up, and then I read very, very casually, then I read very, very rarely, and then that starts bringing some kind of doubt in terms of my iman gets weak. Once my iman gets weak, then I start asking questions which I never thought I would reach that point. Sometimes I would be at the point of kufr. So on the other hand, the other thing would be is if I do the amal and I engage in more amal and I invite more people towards amal, I'm so soaked in it that the chances of me getting out of it is very, very slim. That is why they say if you're invited, the chances are less that you'll be invited. If you are inviting, then the chances are very slim that you'll be invited. So as far as propagation is concerned, I think it's more a propagation is actually a protection of our iman. Propagation of deen is actually there for the protection of our iman. And the benefit of it, they benefit in it through and through. You know, when a businessman looks at something, he wants to see how beneficial this would be for me. And sometimes he thinks, okay, I'm okay now, let me do something for my family. Let me do this, let me do that. Will this particular enterprise of mine, this business enterprise, this investment last for my lifetime only? Or will it last more than that? Even in that, if you're thinking like a business person, then also think about deen. Because even in that, there is that kind of thawab. But you don't know on whose life you'll have an impact. And that is why in this particular connection, I often like to quote the instance of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. We know Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in terms of his own life, if anybody is reading hadith, you know that he has quoted over 5,000 ahadith. Quoted over 5,000 ahadith. And everywhere in the world, somewhere, his name is being mentioned. Every day. That means today, yesterday, last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometime his name is being mentioned, and somewhere he's getting rewarded because it is a hadith that he narrated. Right? But look at the spin-off of this. Abu Huraira, he was a particular person, alhamdulillah, he got himself attached to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he narrated so much ahadith. But look at who gets the benefit as well. Now first, just imagine this. Think about the thawab Abu Huraira is getting. For those who read the hadith, for those who practice the hadith, for those who teach others the hadith, whenever it is recited, whenever it is quoted, any bayan that is given, kitab reading is taking place, whatever, and he's just coining it with the thawab. But this one person, whatever thawab Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu gets, he also gets a carbon copy of this thawab. Subhanallah. A carbon copy of the thawab. And who is that? That's Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi. Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi, he heard about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he went to find out, let me see if this person is true or not. When he went, he was convinced this is a true Nabi. Then he goes back to his tribe, and he tells them about the deen of Islam. And from amongst the members of his tribe, one of those who accepted was Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. What did this person do? All he did was he took the message from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he passed it on to his tribe, and for generations, till the day of Qiyamah, the bank balance of the Akhirah, that the Rajat would be going higher and higher and higher. Why? He was concerned about the welfare of his people. In the same way, if we want to do the same, we don't know who will impact. You know, if we are weak in any way, we need to make some kind of effort now, in our lives from now, so that our family's life can change. And our family's life changes, then inshallah, our grandchildren, and for generations to come, will be on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But if we are a bit lax now, and think, no man, you know, this work is not for me, there are a few people who are doing it, then unfortunately, that's how, when people become complacent, and they think everything is okay, that's when we begin to lose it. So as far as your question again, Maulana, in terms of the propagation of deen, getting involved in da'wah and tabligh, it's extremely important. It's an effort which each and every person should individually get involved in, and don't leave it for somebody else. Don't leave it for somebody else. The Quran mentions, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you believe, protect yourselves and your family with the fire of Jahannam. What are we doing for that? We're trying to protect with everything else, from everything else, organizing everything else. But in terms of that which they will have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, are we doing enough to protect the iman? Are we doing enough to ensure that tomorrow they don't ask us questions about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that we never even thought in our own household this particular thing would happen? And for things to manage and for things to happen linear-wise, it also cannot be done alone. You see, if I'm doing something alone, I also often give this example. You know, if you go on a diet, and everybody else around you is not on a diet, it's very hard, you know. They say, okay, you know what, he'll have the salad, but the other guy's having steak, you know. He'll have some water, everybody else having dessert and ice cream. You know, he's having something baked, and people have got fried samosas and chicken there. It makes it difficult for the person to continue. But if everybody else is eating the same thing, it makes it easier. In the same way, if we have an environment where people are also engaged and have the same fikr, and we're reminding each other, then like that it would be easier to stick on the straight path, because I got someone to remind me, I got someone to help me, I got someone to show me where I'm going wrong, and like that inshallah we can go from strength to strength. So the beautiful teachings of Deen are there for the protection of our iman, are there for us. There's nothing for us to feel shy about in terms of Islam. Why should we feel shy? And that's the other thing. There are people who are unbaptized, people who don't have the correct deen, but they walk the street and they'll go and talk about their deen. They'll do some things, they look so, if people wouldn't want to, it's not even so appealing the way that some of the things that they do, but they don't feel shy to do, they don't feel shy to display their deen. Why should we feel shy when we've got the haq, when we've got the best, when we are khayra ummah, we had the best of prophets, the final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we got the best deen. What should we feel, why should we be feeling ashamed? So these kinds of gatherings like this gives a person that kind of inspiration, that kind of courage that, this is my deen, it's a beautiful deen, I'm proud to be a Muslim, and wherever I am, the call is there to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's command comes, whether it is salah, whether it is me being honest, whether it is me being kind, I respond to the call. As the Quran mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa li rasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Or you will believe, respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He calls you towards that which will revive you. Allah give us tawfiq to respond to this call at each and every point in time. When we are born and the azan was given in our ears, the iqamah was given in our ears as well. And as you grow up, we hear the azan, it is respond to the call of the azan and respond to every call that the deen makes on us. Every time there's a call for us to respond, let us respond positively. May Allah ta'ala make us worthy ambassadors for the beautiful deen of Islam.
Ameen. Well, Sahib, Jazakumullah for the lovely advices and nasihat. Yes, we've been created to worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wa ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal insa illa li'abudun. Wa Sahib, like you saying that, we have become blessed. Allah forgive us all. We have to realize the shortness of time. And Malana, I like the way you say that we have to utilize our time correctly before our time is utilized. Yes, we have to work on our iman, the iman of our families, like you mentioned, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Jazakallah for the advice and nasihat, Malana Sahib. Dua is requested. And inshallah we talk soon, Malala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, one point also that came up from last night's bayan, beautifully mentioned by Mufti Asif Sahab, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Malala quoted the verse of the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. That all those of Imam give to the call, come to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith Qudusi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, like Mufti Asif Sahab mentioned last night's program, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in the Hadith Qudusi that, O insan, O my banda, if you come to me a hand's length, I come to you an arm's length. If you come to me an arm's length, Allah says I come to you, twice that. And if you come to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa idha atani yamshi. If you come to me walking, Allah Park says, ataytu harwalatan, I come to you running, subhanallah. So we have to run towards Allah, fafirru ilallah. May we respond to the call of Allah and His beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakallah Mawlana Muhammad Karar. To remind our listeners, time right now is 24 minutes past 11 o'clock. We are here in Ladysmith live from the edge of the Ijtima, broadcasting to you. And obviously this is the second day with myself Suhaib Lasania and my co-host Mawlana Muhammad Karar. And just before the news bulletin, before 11 o'clock, we were speaking to Mawlana Yusuf Sadr Sahab, who is the principal and founder of Darul Khair Madrasa, and currently in his madrasa all the ulama are staying there. So Mawlana, before welcome back, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, before we went for our news bulletin, we were speaking to you regarding the history of Ladysmith, and we wanted to know, when did the Muslims arrive here in Ladysmith? How many masajids are here in Ladysmith? How many ulama are residing in Ladysmith? And also regarding one of the most famous masjids in South Africa, regarding Sufi Darbar. So tell us brief history regarding Sufi Darbar, how it was established, and the ulama that are staying in Ladysmith, Mawlana.
Masa, before you continue, Maaf, just to remind our listeners, we have Mawlana Mahmoud Yaqub Sahib, inshallah, will join us shortly from the KZN area. We have another two brothers, mashallah, from the Peter Manisburg area. Brother Qabil, mashallah, who is a truck driver as well, he brought all the stuff here. And another brother who accepted the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala approximately 5 months ago, and he'll be sharing us with us his experiences. So, Mawlana Sahib, you may continue.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana, I think around 1875... is the first reported entry of the Indians and Muslims specifically into Ladysmith. And Alhamdulillah, from that time, as we have mentioned, they played a a very considerable role in promoting in the economic development of this town. And together with that, mashallah, we find that the ethos of Islam, the values of Islam, our culture, and the promoting of the Islamic ideals and way of life, mashallah, is the furthering of Islamic education. Alhamdulillah, they were hand in hand. And together with the economic development of the town, in which they were very, very active, they promoted Islam, mashallah, in all the different facets, in all the different avenues. So today, alhamdulillah, we find that in a small town of Ladysmith, we have multifaceted institutions which are taking care of promoting the values of Islam, the norms of Islam, the ethos of Islam, mashallah, in different ways. Regarding the masajid, Mulana, alhamdulillah, we have approximately 8 masajid in Ladysmith, and then there's quite a few musallas, as we call them, jamaat khanas. There's about 3 or 4 jamaat khanas and 8 established masjid. And from all of these masajid, mashallah, I think the oldest, one of the oldest is the masjid in town. And then thereafter was the masjid that now we call, which is known as the Sufi masjid. So the Sufi masjid is very, very historical and interesting in that it was established by none other than Hazrat Sufi Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh. And we all know that in South Africa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. He had the spirit of Iman. He had that burning desire to establish the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this great khidmat and this great work from him. And he moved from town to town, from Durban, and through different areas. And he went and established masajid, mashallah. And today, up till today, and inshallah, this will carry on his Sawab Jariya and his Sadaqatun Jariya that he has managed to establish in his lifetime, mashallah. And each masjid is unique, mashallah. The location of that masjid is very, very beautiful. Most of the masajid are on the either by the sea or on the river banks, on the banks of the river, mashallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the location is very, very appropriate, very, very apt. And today we find that all these masajid are the hub of the community. They are the center of the society. Different types of works of deen are taking place from there. So the Ladysmith Sufi Masjid is very historical in that it is very architecturally, the design is very, very unique, mashallah. You find people, not alone, leave alone Muslims, you find tourists, and this is on a daily basis that they come on the banks of the river, mashallah, and they are taking photographs and they like to come and view this. So it is one of the landmarks of Ladysmith, alhamdulillah. So as we have 8 masajid, we have quite a few musallas, we have many, many different madaris, institutions that are serving the deen, and also in the field of da'wah, in different fields, mashallah, we find that work is carrying on very actively, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the different khidmat that is taking place. And really we owe this to the efforts of our forefathers and the efforts of our forebearers who laid the foundation stone and made all the sacrifice, mashallah.
JazakAllah. Important one, Maul Sahib, let's not forget the efforts of our kabirin, our elders in this community. Maulana, with regards to the madrasa, alhamdulillah, where some of the ulama kiram have been housed, Tabaridi Islam team, mashallah, also have been housed there. It's a lovely setup, Maulana. Let's talk a little bit with regards to the madrasa called the Darul Hikmah. When was it founded? More about the students. And yes, Maulana Sahib, regarding this lovely madrasa that you have in Ladysmith.
Jazakumullah khair. I think, Maulana, you mentioned firstly that we should not forget our akabirin. We just have to mention, mashallah, that in our town, we spoke about the Sufi Masjid. And one of the great akabirin from our silsila, from our akabirin, is Hazrat Sufi Abid Mia Osmani, rahmatullahi alayh. So as it was now, he hailed from Dabel. Mashallah, he had studied, he was in from Dabel, from the famous Mia family. And he is one of our akabirin, one of our mashayikh, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was in Hakim as well. And he has authored many, many books. And today these books are rare, valuable, collectible items. The people that have these books, they do not part with them because you will not see another copy, mashallah. For example, Mi'raj al-Mu'min and many, many other books that he has written in the Urdu language, which are simply put, Mulana, they are masterpieces, mashallah, and full oceans of knowledge. So alhamdulillah, Hazrat passed away in 1945 and he is buried in Ladysmith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all his khidmat. path. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us also the guidance and the ability, the tawfiq, to follow in the footsteps of these great people. One is to talk about great people, but one is to try and achieve what they achieved. Also, we have to mention Mawlana Ismail Abdul Razak, who was also a resident of Ladysmith, a son of the soil, mashallah, and he had also studied in Darul Uloom Deoband. He had studied in Al-Azhar University, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Mawlana with a unique personality, with full of charisma. He was an orator by excellence, and mashallah, he used to captivate the people. He was one of the very first people to promote da'wah in our country and speak on the importance that he would say openly that if we do not do the work of da'wah among the indigenous people, then we are planting the seeds of our destruction.
Sure.
So alhamdulillah, that is just briefly two personalities that we have to mention. Regarding our madrasa, alhamdulillah, very, very briefly, our madrasa began in 1998 with the fazl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together in conjunction with Haji Hussein Vauda, rahmatullahi alayhi. We began our madrasa, our humble beginnings in a home in Mimosa Road. This is directly behind the Sufi Masjid. And alhamdulillah, that is where our madrasa began. It was in a house, and we stayed in that house for approximately 13 years. So we utilized every available inch of space in that home. Obviously, there was not sufficient toilets, there was not sufficient ablution, there was no playing area, there was no facilities conducive to a madrasa environment. So the need, as the years were going by, the number of students increased, alhamdulillah. So the need was felt that we have to establish a proper Islamic center, a proper madrasa, and the main focus of our efforts was to work on the to provide female education, to provide facilities for the women folk, mashallah. So we began our alima classes together with maktab, and obviously the maktab is very, very important. We have to ensure that every single child, Muslim child of the ummah, they attend maktab and they gather that necessary knowledge that they need to will carry them throughout their lives. So alhamdulillah, we have the girls madrasa, the alima classes, which is a 4-year course basically, which is quite sufficient according to our akabirin and elders, the ulama. They say that is more than enough for them. What is more important is that we work on the akhlaq, we work on the tarbiyah, that they have a great role to play in society, in their family, in their homes. So we're working to prepare them for that great role that they have to play in society. So together with knowledge, mashallah, more effort, according to the advice of Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayh, that we need to work more on their akhlaq, on their tarbiyah, train them, prepare them for their life to come. And that life will be, inshallah, in the home, that they will be able to now bring about a revolution in our society. And that revolution will come about through our women folk, mashallah, the capability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We have heard from our ustads and from our elders, they say in Urdu very, very beautifully, ek mard ne parha to ek fard ne parha. That if one person, one man studies, then you have educated an individual. And if you have educated an one woman, then entire khandan, then you find that you have educated an entire family. So one individual, one man is one individual. And if you educate one female, then you have educated an entire family. So this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now, we have approximately 7 graduation jalsas have taken place in our madrasa. We have many, many students, approximately 25 to 30 students in the alima class. We have ladies classes. We have da'wah programs taking place. We have tahfizul Quran for both boys and girls. We have Montessori school, different activities, programs for the community, mashallah, taking place. So Mawlana, this is very, very briefly, Darul Khair was established, and Madrasa Aisha Siddiqa to provide this multifaceted service and khidmat to the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all ikhlas and sincerity of intention. And it is only the du'as of our akabirin, our asatiza, that little bit of work, we humbly beg you to also remember us in your du'as.
Ameen. Mawlana, finally, before we let you go, the final question we want to ask you regarding the ijtima that is taking place here in Ladysmith, that the impact of the da'wah we just heard before the break. We were speaking to Mawlana Imran Khamisa, and he spoke regarding the importance of da'wah and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this morning's Fajr Bayan was all about giving da'wah and inviting people towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the impact of the da'wah affects people, and how Allah subhanahu subhanahu wa ta'ala utilizes people, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softens their hearts, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take work from them, from deen, even though some of them are Muslims, some of them might not be Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes work of deen from anyone. So tell us regarding this, just briefly, we were discussing how people contributed, how this Intizami Jamaat came about, and how they contributed, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah, I think it's very amazing, very, very fascinating. We have been on site for the past 3 weeks at different times, and the impact that it has had on the society, on the community. We find we have heard incidents and stories about ordinary people from all walks of life, non-Muslim. They have been curious, and they have been looking, and they've been quite interested that, listen, what is going on here? What is happening? What are you people doing? So this ijtima in itself, besides the amals that will be taking place 24 hours, mashallah, for these 2 days, we find that now it is also having an impact on the community of Ladysmith, on the non-Muslim community, that they are also impacted. They are very interested to see the intizam, the special arrangements that have been made, how smoothly everything is going, how things have come up, how everything seems to be very controlled, seems to be very, very organized. We seem to be in a state of, mashallah, everything is ready, everything is organized. So this is having an impact on many, many people. And inshallah, this is what I think one of the aims also that we have such a program in public is that also in itself, this is also a da'wat to Islam. This is also an invitation to the beauty of Islam. That Islam teaches us whatever we do, we must do it well. MashaAllah, so one aspect is the intizam preparation of any program. And imagine a program of this scale where we find 10,000 people coming, MashaAllah, the ijtima in Joburg area where we find 30, 40,000 people coming. Imagine the intizam, what preparations has to be made. So subhanAllah, this is down, this has been made into an art. It has been perfected over the years, mashallah. We find different people from all walks of life, professionals, engineers, architects, doctors, people that now have skill. They have now dedicated themselves. They say, we have done enough for the world. We also have to give time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, I am a da'i, I am a Muslim, then I am an architect. So that very same engineer is using his skills in promoting deen. He lays out the site, the ijtima site. He draws up the plans. We find an architect will draw the layout of the tents. Everything is now to the T, mashallah. Well, it's very, very amazing. In fact, there is a manual that now over the years it has been, a manual has been drawn up. There are approximately, for any ijtima, there's approximately 60 departments that we have.
Now
imagine how amazing that is. Imagine we can just name a few. You have the khidmat department, you have the cooking department, you need the washing department, you need now security, you need parking jamaat, you need different types of people, istiqbal, you need somebody to look after the ulama, somebody to look after the foreign guests that have come. So there are approximately 60 departments, and everything is documented, everything is well laid out, everything is mapped out to every single minute detail that this is how it must be done, this is the protocol. So when we find that, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Emil Sultan, this waqaf, this land, it has been used, it is being utilized for the sake of deen, for the promotion of deen, and we find that in the interaction with obtaining the site, and subsequently we find that there is no charge for the water, there is no charge. It has been given that please, you people can use it. You all are doing such good work. It is now benefit to our society, benefit to the community at large, benefit for Ladysmith. So mashallah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses all different types of people for his deen, be they Muslim or non-Muslim, be they kafir, be they even a zalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses such people for the sake of his deen. So we find that in this way, deep inroads and impact has been made on the local community, even at the municipal level, mashallah. So we find that they have come forward, they have now given their assistance, and we find that everything, that is why alhamdulillah we are in the second day of the ijtima, everything is running so smoothly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. And we find that, mashallah, the Muslim community, as we have said, that pioneering spirit of our forebearers, our forefathers, the pioneering spirit is still there, that the community of Ladysmith has rallied, and the surrounding areas and the entire Muslim population of KZN, we have come forward and we have taken up this ijtima, mashallah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of our hidayat, the hidayat of our community and the hidayat of the ummah throughout the world.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khairan. That was Mawlana Yusuf Sirasab. We say Jazakallah from the bottom of our hearts. Mawlana is also our host for the second time. Last time we came in a month of Ramadan with Al-Rihla. And this time again, we are staying in a madrasa, Darul Khair. We had over 250 ulama also residing there, staying there for this duration of Ijtima. So that was Mulana Yusuf Seder giving us the history of Ladysmith, the contributions of the Muslims in this particular area, when did the Muslims arrive in Ladysmith, and also with regards to the famous and historic Masjid Sufi Darbar. Mulana spoke briefly regarding that. Now next up, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Mulana Mahmoud Yaqub. Mulana Mahmoud Yaqub, for the benefit of our listeners, he was one of the ex-presenters of Radio Islam, and mashallah, now he's at Senha in KZN. Mulana is doing great work there also, so we'll be speaking to Mulana Yaqub, Mulana Mahmoud Yaqub from Senha, and the ex-presenter of Radio Islam. But just before Mulana comes in, it's mentioned in the Malfuzat of Hazrat Mulana Ilyas Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, that we need to keep three things in mind, that every action should be done to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulana Muhammad Kara, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be doing anything only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also, Mulana, to have yaqeen, to have faith of akhirat, of the year after. In the akhirat, we shall have its reward, or we shall be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, with this intention, there should be no other aim of getting anything before death in this world. The worldly benefits will come by themselves, but they should not be the object. Worldly benefit will definitely be achieved, and to have confidence in its achievement is also necessary, but it should not be our object and the main maqsad of our life. Yes, the way it may become necessary, the secrets and technicalities could be explained, and there is no objection in this, but it should not be done everywhere. So these are the three important points we need to adopt, and this is mentioned in the Malfuzat, in the sayings of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, that every action should be done only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have yaqeen, to have iman, faith of the akhirat, to have firm conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with this intention, there should be no other aims, no other ulterior motives, but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulana Muhammad Kara, over to you.
Yes, Master, Jazakallah for that inspiration and advices. May Allah instill all these qualities within our lives. Like you said, we have Sheikh Mulana Mahmoud Yaqub with us in the studios of Radio Islam International here in Ladysmith. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakum Allah, a very humble man indeed. Yes, this morning we were talking about Mawlana Mahmoud Yaqub. He's a senior applications manager at the Senha offices out in KZN in Durban. Mawlana, we were talking about old times, we were talking about family life, we were talking about the beaches out in the Natal area, which we Joburgers are missing out on. Mawlana, we were talking about death and reality. One question: when I go, will you cry for me?
Who will not cry for you, Mawlana?
Gee, I thought friends in this life of you, but mashallah, we have many friends, Malisaib. Mawlana Saib, with regards to Senha activities out in the Natal area, mashallah, you've been with Senha for the last 12, 13 years. Tell us about activities at Senha in Durban and latest developments, Mawlana.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Just to give a brief overview, the Senha office in the KZN region was the first and initial offices of Senha. It is regarded as the head office of Senha. For Senha nationally, we've got three offices in Johannesburg, Durban and Cape Town. The Durban office is regarded as the head office because of all the administration work, etc., that takes place from there. And it was the first office that Senha had initially. Thereafter, it moved to Johannesburg and thereafter to Cape Town. The offices in Durban, we are responsible for the entire KZN region in terms of applications that we receive and in terms of inspections that we conduct. So we are basically responsible for the KZN region. So in a nutshell, that is what Senha does in the KZN office.
JazakAllah. Mawlana Sahib, I'm going to ask you one more question with regards to the work of Dawah in Tabligh. Mawlana Sahib highlighted to us the need of our involvement, especially in today's times, in this noble work of Dawah in Tabligh.
I think the noble work of Dawah in Tabligh, we cannot overemphasize it, as it is an apparent fact that the amount of benefit that this has brought to our communities and to our country in South Africa. And as we know, Haji Baipadia Rahimahullah, who was the stalwart and the person that initiated the work of Dawat and Tabligh, came from the Durban region. And as a student at that time, we still remember that Haji Bhai Padia should come through, give us advices with regards to Dawat and Tabligh at its initial stages. And what we can say it is, we can go back to the Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. To bring change amongst the community and to bring change amongst the world, we have to bring change amongst ourselves, within ourselves. And the work of Dawat and Tabligh, the work of Dawat and Tabligh in our life is so important that it makes effect within ourselves. That how can we bring change within ourselves and thereafter bring change within the community, and that will have a ripple effect within our society, within the country that we live in as well. So we cannot overemphasize the importance of Dawat and Tabligh in our life today. And we can see whatever we have around us, the various Darul Ulooms, the Makatib, the organizations, etc. We can say that certain aspect of these works of deen that we find ourselves in is through the benefit of Dawat and Tabligh. What else we can mention is that, every work of deen is essential for deen to go forward in this world. And Alim put it very well, and he said that, if you look at every aspect, whether it's Dawat and Tabligh, whether it's Maktab, whether it is Darul Ulooms, whether it is the Khanqahs, whether it is the organizations, you have the various Jamiats, you have the various Islamic organizations, they all are like the engine in the motor car, that each facet of deen is like a component within that motor car. If one of that component within the motor car is not working, that car would not move, or neither would it start. So in the same manner, every work of deen that we find around us, whether it is Darul Ulooms, or whether it is the Khanqahs, or whether it is the work of Dawat and Tabligh, or whether it is the work of Halal and Haram, they all contribute towards taking deen forward. And that is why in today's time we should be appreciative, especially in South Africa, that due to our forefathers and the ulama that have come, the amount of work that they have put in, we find ourselves in the situation that we are in today, alhamdulillah.
Ameen, jazakallah. Beautiful, Sayyid Malana. All these are branches of the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect all the shi'ar of Islam. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect our masajid, our makatib, our khankas, radio stations, and this wonderful work of da'wah and tabligh.
Jazakallah, Mawlana. Just to remind our listeners, before we let Mawlana Mahmood Yaqub go, we've got one more question for you, Mawlana, before we let you go. But to remind our listeners that we are live from the edge of the Ijtima in Ladysmith, and this is the third day of our Ijtima broadcast, that we are sitting at the edge and we are broadcasting the programs. We are inviting various ulama from different parts of KZN coming to the built-in studios of Radio Islam and sharing their memories, giving us nasir and advice, and also explaining to our listeners the importance of Dawat and Tabligh. Mawlana, you mentioned as growing up as a youngster, as a student, your vivid memories with Hazrat Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Alayhi. For the benefit of our listeners, Mawlana, what do you remember from that time? And also we know that Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Alayhi was the one who started the work of Dawat and Tabligh in South Africa and started here in KZN. You being a student, what do you remember, or what sayings of Haji Bhai Padia do you recall, Mawlana?
In terms of seeing, we were so young at that time, but unfortunately, we cannot remember. But one thing that really comes to mind, once we were sitting in Madrasa Talimuddin, at that time we should have, the Madrasa wasn't so established like we find today as a huge Darul Ulum. It was a small house, and we should have certain classes in the masjid, in the Isipingo Beach Masjid. And once he came, and we were in the class, and he came and he was giving us advice, and on the wall which was carpeted, he show us an algorithm, a mathematical sum, wherein he said amal plus practice equals da'wat. And if you look at it in today's time, it is so apt that you can have all the ilm, and if you don't have amal, that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to go forward.
Subhanallah.
So that really sticks in mind. That he mentioned that ilm, which is knowledge plus amal, equals da'wah. So inshallah, if we all have this in our minds, inshallah, it will be beneficial to all.
Ameen. Jazakallah. Yes, Manasat Mali Mahmoud Yaqub Sahib, Jazakumullah for the inspiration and advice. Remember, you still have qada of your 1 year jamaat. Next time we meet, inshallah, we hope to see your passport, Mali Mahmoud Yaqub Sahib. Tashkil live on air.
MashaAllah, Mawlana Muhammad Kara, you being the oldest presenter, the longest serving presenter at Radio Islam, so I'm sure you have a very informal relationship with all our presenters. And I think before I started Radio Islam, long before that, because I just heard now Mawlana is at Sana for over 12, 13 years, and I'm here at Radio Islam for about just over 7 years. So Mawlana was there long before us, but you were there since inception, since 1994. What memories do you recall from there, Mawlana Kara?
My station manager is listening to me. I'll tell you off air, Malana.
Okay, so leave that one. There are other memories that maybe our listeners can benefit. Share some words of wisdom, Malana.
No, Malana, we have one special memory regarding the Afghanistan war. Mali Mahmoud Yaqub, you were there at the time. I'm not going to mention much about that incident, but yes, we had live coverage on Radio Islam International regarding the war when it just broke out. In Afghanistan,
Jazakallah, Mulana. We have another guest that is waiting with us. Would you like to introduce our next guest, Mulana Kara?
Yes, Mulana Sir, before we continue, while we're waiting for the guests to see themselves, MashaAllah, Mali Mahmoud Yaqub Sahib, Damat Barakatum, spoke about Haji Baipadia Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and also what is documented regarding Haji Baipadia Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. As Mulana Sahib mentions, Haji Sahib mentions, he says three things instill this within our lives. One is simplicity in our entire way of life. One is especially, Raji Sahib Rahmatullahi spoke about weddings, etc. And, you know, he greatly disliked wasted and israf of any sort. What he also used to mention a lot, what we learned from the Ulama Kalam is, as it used to say, that love and respect the Ulama Kalam, ikalam of the Ulama Kalam. And also what he said is the importance of making an effort on the home environment. That Sabu Ulama Kalam used to say, that Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say, that gar gar ku madrasa bana'o. And also, dhikr ka khanka bana'o. That make every home a madrasa of Islamic knowledge, a khanka of dhikr, and also a markas of da'wah in tabligh. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon these beautiful advices and nasihat. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alright, it's 5 to 12. Your tune trade Islam International. With us, mashallah, in the studios here in Ladysmith, we have very special brothers, mashallah. We have Brother Qabil sitting on the left of me, and Brother Waleed on the right. Waleed, mashallah, accepted Islam approximately 6 months ago, and he'll tell us about his coming to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'd like to welcome Brother Qabil first. Qabil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah for your time, Brother Waleed. Yaqub, Sadi, Qabil, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept your efforts. Qabil, you've been working at the Ijtima site for the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, bringing stuff from Newcastle, from Pietermaritzburg area. Tell us about a little about yourself and the work that you're involved in the Ijtima.
Alhamdulillah, I'm working under one of the transporters. I'm all to do the transport. I've brought all the trailers up from our last Ijtima, our KZN last Ijtima, which took place in Stanga. Alhamdulillah, and we moved about six trailers up to Ladysmith from Stanga, Alhamdulillah. And as we know, anything to do with the Ijtima and Dawah is to do with Sawabul Jari, Alhamdulillah. So it's a great honor for me to be involved in the Ijtima, Alhamdulillah, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah. Brother Qabil, you were saying a few minutes ago, we were talking about the Ijtima, Alhamdulillah. You mentioned regarding the importance of attending the Ijtima. Special inspiration and advices for our brothers and sisters, our brothers rather out in the Johannesburg area. We have our Ijtima taking place, inshallah, next weekend. So inshallah, some advices regarding the importance of attending the Ijtimas. And also you mentioned, Alhamdulillah, your friends and colleagues, those who have came to the Ijtima, have Alhamdulillah overnight transformed themselves to become better Muslims.
Alhamdulillah, with the help of Dawah, Talim that's taking place, if you sit amongst our learned ulama, there's a lot of things that we can learn individually, Alhamdulillah, because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there is deen and dawah concerned, and you gain the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah of Allah descends upon you. So never mind what situation you are in, you come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes towards you. So inshallah, I encourage everybody, inshallah, that also next week going to be attending the Gauteng Ijtima, to also, I hope it's a little bit of a little inspiring talk that I'm giving, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, gain the closeness inshallah, and come sit in on the talim, sit in on everything, and inshallah we'll get good knowledge from that, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Qabil, you said, mashallah, you attended the Ijtima out in Cape Town area as well. Amongst the wonderful inspiration and advices out to the Cape Town Ijtima, what was the striking point, the focus point, but what message did you come home?
Alhamdulillah, there's a little bit of a difference, but the Cape Town Ijtima wasn't as huge as the Ijtima it is here. And alhamdulillah, I've traveled to the Cape Town Ijtima. That is where I met Brother Waleed on the way transporting the trailer. Waleed is with me, and as I traveled, I gave him a lift, alhamdulillah. And from me giving him a little bit of dawah, he's here beside me. He can, inshallah, tell you about his story, inshallah.
Brother Qabil, before we continue, tell us regarding what did you tell him? How did you break the ice?
Actually, I was traveling towards, and I saw that he was, you know, the sun was quite hot
here.
It was in December, and I explained to him what the importance of me meeting him, because it's only through the Qudrat of Allah that I had met him. And as I started giving dawah, out of his own, it's Allah that gave him hidayat, and he on his own confessed that, you know, he wants to become a Muslim. I explained him the cleanliness and stuff like that about Islam, and out of his own free will, we thank Allah for giving him the hidayat to come in the deen, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, Brother Qabil, just to remind our listeners, before we go to Brother Waleed, who has accepted Islam, his previous name was Bali, and in September, I think he accepted Islam. But before that, Maaf, we need to take our news bulletin, our ad break. Well, let's take that news bulletin and ad break. When we come back, we speak to the revert, Brother Bali, whose name is Waleed now, and regarding his experience regarding Islam and his journey towards Islam. And this is his first Ijtima that he's attending here in Ladysmith. We'll ask him more about that. But before that, let's go back to the studios of Lanesia. Let's take our ad break as well as the news bulletin. When we return, we'll continue. Stay tuned.
Alhamdulillahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned to Radio Islam International. Yes, we are coming to you live from the edge of the Ijtima out in Ladysmith. We spoke to many ulama kiram from 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Mali Mahmoud Yaqub Saab, Molana Imran Khamisa Saab from Port Jepson. We spoke to a few brothers, Molana Sayyidr Saab as well, inshallah. And we spoke to Brother Qabil a few minutes ago. We're now talking to a very special guest as well, alhamdulillah. A very fortunate man indeed. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala opened his heart to Islam. And yes, hidayat and guidance is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brother Waleed, former name Bali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother Waleed Khanat.
What's
your angles? Was it Bali the kid or Bali the goat?
Was it Bali the goat?
It was Bali the goat, mashallah. Bali, you are very fortunate man, subhanAllah. Hadith comes to mind when Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said in the hadith that inna al-Islam wa tahrimu ma kana qablaha. When a person accepts the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, every guna and sin of his is been made maaf and forgiven by Almighty Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In fact, the uncle of Nabi Kareem Sa'asim was not even given the hidayah to Islam, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose me and you, alhamdulillah. Allah chose us to become the reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah, and Allah made us ummatis of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we got to understand that this is nobody's inheritance. It was not any grandfather's inheritance. It was only through the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and myself daily, inshallah. We got to thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah chose us. Brother Balir, Waleed, you can an Afrikaans praat, you can an Zulu praat, an Angles Afrikaans, but you can an Gujarati praat. Waleed. Tell us with regards to experiences, your acceptance of Islam, what inspired you to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Wat vir my geïnspireer het om Islam te raak is wat ek het voorheen dat ek vir moslim mense gewerk. Het ek vir moslim mense gewerk. En toe ek hulle ook bietjie uitgevra oor die moslim en hoe om in die geloof in te kom. En so het ek meer verder geleer, en tot op die dag wat ek Karel Pietersen ontmoet het, langs die pad wat hy my opgetel het, so het ek verder begin leer, toe ek in Pieter Maritzburg kom, toe gaan ek naar die dien toe, toe gee ek my oor om Islam te raak, toe is ek weer PE toe, waar ek verder weer gaan leer het, voor die Islam, wat ek nou weer terug is in Pietermaritzburg. En die wat ek nou hier is, van my eerste Istema, is het wonderlik om hier te wees. Ek leer ook nog meer wat aangaan, hoe die Islam is en hoe die Islam werk.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah for that. Yes, brother Walid telling us in Afrikaans regarding how he worked for Muslims for a few years, and continuously he asked them regarding this wonderful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says what actually inspired him and what inspired him to make the decision to accept the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is, as brother Qabil said, he picked him up on the road and told him about Islam. Brother Qabil, there is a hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you tell the person something to do good, inshallah, whatever good he will do, Allah Pak will credit his actions in your book of deeds. So subhanAllah, clear tidings to you. And he was telling us what actually transpired him to accept the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was when Qabil gave him a lift, he met him lungs apart. He picked him up, subhanAllah, they talked about Islam, and he says that was the transformation in his life. He went to Port Elizabeth the day after, and he says, alhamdulillah, he's now in Pietermaritzburg, and this is the first ijtima that he is attending, and he says that is wonderful, it is wonderful. What do you in Pietermaritzburg, Walid?
I'm a maintenance man, doing building work, plumbing work, on buildings.
You're a maintenance man with the man, you say. Allah give you barakat, my brother. Jazakum Allah. With regards to, this ijtima, alhamdulillah, this is the first ijtima that you are attending, the one in Ladysmith. Tell us about your experiences.
We came here last night. It was for me different to see all this, so much people who's here, to get it used to it, and we're sleeping together. And it's for me, is it a great opportunity to be here, to learn more, to see what it is going on about the Istima.
Alhamdulillah. Van jou lewe, Walid, hoe jou lewe verander?
My lewe het baie verander, vandat ek nou Islam begin raak, my lewe is skoner, my lewe is makkeliker. Ek het die probleme op die pad nie, niks.
SubhanAllah, it's easy going. Say, since he accepts the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah has given him barakat. Everything is going easy, alhamdulillah, and wonderful for him. Allah keep you barakat, my brother. Allah keep you happy, inshallah. And may you take the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the message of Islam to the masses. With regards to your family, Walid, your family, have you explained to them regarding this beautiful deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Have you tried to explain to them and propagate to them the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what's been the response?
Ek het probeer om vir hulle te verduidelik dat ek Islam accepted, en die respons wat ek gekry het, hulle wil nie met my praat nie, want ek is nog nie saam met hulle in hulle geloof nie. Ek het, soos hulle voel, ek het hulle verraai.
We asked Brother Walid regarding his family members, close associates, has he taken the message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to them? What's been the response? He says no, he's told them repeated occasions, but at this point in time he says they're not talking to him because they believe and they feel that he has deceived them. But continue, inshallah, Aziz, my brother, continue propagating the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walid Mebru, what's your final advices and nasihat to our listeners of Radio Islam International?
If they can come to the Istima, then they can learn so much from the Istima to become Islam. And to be an Islam, it's easy, your life is going to be easy. You're getting work done, you're getting everything done with Allah's help.
SubhanAllah. Allah give you barakat, my brother. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant you the best in this life. To you as well, brother Qabil, khush khabri, glad tidings to you. And Jazakumullah for your time. What is your message, your final message?
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah to you, Maulana. Final message is, we hope that all that attended the Istima, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants barakat in the family's homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers everybody with whatever their heart desires. And we make dua, inshallah, that is it's inspiration for our other religions as well, to show them how beautiful Islam is, Maulana.
Amin. Jazakumullah.
Jazakallah, that was Brother Qabil and also Brother Waleed. Waleed just accepted Islam in a month of September. About 6 months back, he has accepted Islam. And this is the first ijtima that he is attending, like we heard from Brother Waleed, that it is so nice that he saw that all the Muslims are gathering from different ethnics, different backgrounds, different nationalities coming onto one place and also sleeping in one area, sleeping together. All the Muslims are sleeping here. So this is very good for him to see. This is a form of unity amongst us Muslims. And also the effort that Brother Qabil went out of his way, gave him a lift and gave him dawah towards Islam and invited him towards Islam. And that's the message that we learned from coming out in this ijtima, the importance of giving dawah. Yesterday Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab Damat Barakat, who mentioned also the virtues of such gatherings, and we had this morning Mulana Imran Khamisa speaking regarding the importance of dawah, calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This morning also we heard how the Brother Rashid in the main bayan after Fajr, he spoke regarding the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing who our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, who our Creator is. And this is what we learn in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith that talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim, that it is compulsory on every Muslim to acquire knowledge. It is farz upon every Muslim to acquire knowledge, and we accept the fact that it is important to seek knowledge, and certain aspects of deen are such that it is compulsory for each and every Muslim to know them. There are millions of Muslims in the world. It is not practically possible that all these Muslims, they join madrasas, they join darul ulums, they join maktabs, or they sit in a masjid and they acquire knowledge. It is not possible. So that's why it is, as it is a custom in all the Muslim world, that it will not be prepared to do this. No, they can go to different darul ulums, they can go to different madrasas, they can go and sit in a masjid for long hours. So that's why therefore a different mechanism had to be adopted. And it is observed that only the minority that were in madrasas, they were studying madrasas, they acquired knowledge, and a vast majority was too engrossed in worldly activities, resulting in the ignorance of even the basic principles of deen. Therefore, a method was engineered where the Muslims were requested to take out some time from the daily engagements and come to the masjid. Here they are reminded about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, about the qualities and the sifats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how ignorant they were of the teachings of Islam, the beautiful religion of Islam. This led them to spending more time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and eventually they were educated with the basic teachings of Islam. It is apparent today that everyone who spends at least about 40 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a little bit acquainted with the basic rulings of Salat, about wudu, the importance of Salah, and the importance of the religion of Islam, and also learns to recite those surahs of the Quran that are read frequently in Salat. Moreover, the work of Tabligh has created awareness of the lack of knowledge in the Muslims in the past few years, resulting in more students joining Darul Rooms, they joining madrasas. Consciousness regarding Islam and Iman is then a person goes through that, and he goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has this desire and this talab, this desire to go out and seek knowledge so he can come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time right now is 11 minutes past 12 o'clock. We are at the edge of the Istima. We are broadcasting live. This is the third day and the final day of our broadcast at the edge of the Istima in Ladysmith. Mulana Muhammad Kara.
Shaykh Malal Sahib, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us all die. Subhanallah. And da'wat is one of the best methods of serving the deen of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we like in the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned that kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas, that O people, you are the best of people evolved for mankind. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhawna anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah, that you believe, you enjoin what is right, subhanallah, forward what is wrong, and wa tu'minuna billah, and that you believe in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala talks about the importance of da'wat ila Allah, that وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that who is better in speech than the person who calls everybody to the oneness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and together with that he works righteous amal and deeds, and he says that وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am those who bow in Islam and submit to the commandments of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, according to the hadith as well, we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assures the da'i, you know, the highest maqam, promises unlimited rewards to them. Subhanallah. Allah give us all the tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us all da'is towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen, inshallah. Ameen. Alright, we also have with us today, mashallah, a very special guest, Maulana Ibrahim Dradla Sahib from Stanger. Maulana Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sunny Bonani. Wa alaikum
assalam wa try to serve Umma Swanki.
Oh, I don't know what you said, Malana. Malana Sahib, Jazakumullah, in honor talking to you, yes, subhanAllah, on the land of Ladysmith. And yes, Malana Sahib, with regards to your khidmat of deen, before we come to where you farigh, what you're doing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malana, tell us with regards to your acceptance of Allah's deen. When did you accept Islam? And tell us about the circumstances that led to you accepting the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not going to go much into details, but in our family, my mother and my father, they accepted Islam in the early 90s. If I'm not mistaken, it was 1995 when my father accepted Islam, my mother accepted Islam. And then at that time, my mother started attending the madrasa in town for old people. And then from there, every time she would come home, read Surah Fatiha, revise it, and then start teaching us. And by that time, we were still small, maybe in the age of 9 or 10. And she would advise us to become Muslim, but of course we did not see the importance of becoming a Muslim because she was not explaining why we should become Muslim at that time. And remember also at that time, Islam was not yet exposed into the South African, local South Africans, especially in the villages also. And then every time she will come and teach us Surah Al-Fatiha and the Kalimat. And then we were not interested in all that until I reached the age of 16. And up until that time, I was not a Muslim. But one thing, she gave me the name Ibrahim. Then I really love this name so much. I don't know why I loved it, but I just like it so much. And then I kept this name as Ibrahim. I like it so much. And other people, other Muslims also around town there in Steng, and they also thought that I'm a Muslim, but I was not a Muslim. I remember one time when lady also, who knew my mother, she also greeted me with Assalamu alaikum. I did not respond. I told her straight, no, I'm not a Muslim. Then up until 2001 now, that's the time now when things started to change now. I was already matured at that time. And then there was a local madrasa which was established in the village where I grew up. And every time now, my mother, she kept on giving us dawat, and we were refusing. And then my young brothers, mashallah, they started attending this madrasa now. Every afternoon, coming back from school, they attend this maktab. Saturday, their whole day. So them also, every time when they come back, they come and teach me this Surah Al-Fatiha. And I already knew it. And the kalima also, I knew the meaning, the translation actually, not the meaning, the translation. And starting teaching me Alif, Badatha. So to me it was look like Chinese, new thing to me. And every time now they carry on giving me dawat. Then my mother also gave dawat to one of my closest friends. She gave him dawat, he accepted Islam. He also joined my brothers to madrasa, to this maktab. It's in a place called Asheville. Until now it's still there, still existing. So this friend of mine also, when he comes to madrasa, he comes and tell me the very same thing. I used to get angry. But there was only one thing that really melted my heart. There was one day which I remember, it was extremely cold, hot. It was very hot. Then they were coming from madrasa, walking, hot, sweating. They asked for water. I went inside the house, took one jug, filled the water inside there. They all drank. I drank also. More water remained. Then now I'm thinking what to do with this water. I decided to throw it away now. Then this friend of mine, he just grabbed my hand. No, don't do this. I said, what? We drank, now it's enough. He said, no, don't do this. I asked him why. He told me, you see, you don't know. Maybe there is someone somewhere in the world. He's in need of one drop of water. In Islam, we are not allowed to waste anything. Now imagine the value of water. That thing really touched me, and my heart melted at that time. And I didn't want to tell him that, you know, you write what you're saying. No, sometimes kibur always prevent people to see the truth. I realized this guy, this young guy, he's true, what he's saying. So if this is the teaching of Islam, if this is what Islam teaches the people, then most probably this is the true religion. Though some people still believe that, no, it's for Indians. But if this guy is saying this, no, he's right. I didn't want to tell him. Then the following day, they said, no, we'd rather come back with our sheikh, our ustaz. So they came back with their sheikh. Now when the sheikh came, my heart was already melted. I accepted Islam. I started the kalima right there. And I started joining them in madrasa, started attending madrasa, and started learning more surahs and du'as. But that also was not enough. That was not enough because we were just doing studying basics. Nothing much about Islamic education. It was just basic, and it was not enough. Plus, I'm attending school. I was still in school at that time. So, and I accepted Islam at that year. And then I felt in the following year, about 2 years, when I accepted Islam, I felt that, no, it's not enough. The challenges that I'm facing now in school, it's becoming more worse. Friends starting criticizing me, my closest friends, you know. He said, no, you left the religion of your forefathers. Why you follow this religion? And I felt that, no, I love this religion so much. And in that year, I remember, in my second year, accepting Islam, I spent about six months not attending Maktab, because I was now confused now. What to do now? Should I leave this religion and carry on with what I was doing? Because what my friends are telling me, you know, this religion is not the right religion, and all that stuff, you know? Then I decided, no, the best thing that will help me and save me, because I love this religion, is to study and know more about this religion. I'd rather leave school, become a jahil in secular education. But if I know my deen, I think it's going to be better. Then I decided to leave, and I went to Darul Ulum, and I studied there 7 years, the Mulana Abdurrahim Khan.
In Stenga, Mulana?
No, it's in Durban, Chatsworth, 10.
I don't know, what deen khidmat are you doing at this point in time?
At this moment, I'm teaching maktab in the afternoon in a place called Glen Hills. It's not very far from my village. It's about 10 kilometers away from my village. And I'm imam there. In the morning, I have classes in Darul Ulum, teaching there. Small Darul Ulum there in Stenga. And I work as a supervisor also sometimes. I work for Zululand Islamic Society. It runs about 29 Makatib in the Zululand on the north coast.
What's the final question? Speaking to you earlier, alhamdulillah, you've spoken to your friends, your families, your colleagues, associates. You've made an effort on the iman, and I think a few of them have accepted the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana, would you like to outline to us and remind us regarding the effort of this work, the importance of the effort of this work, and also the importance of giving the message of Islam to the masses, the indigenous people, and also regarding those who are working for us, our domestic workers, and also those staff members, the importance of giving the message of Islam to the indigenous people, Maulana?
Ya Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this great responsibility of doing the work of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Moreover than that, we should study the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To give da'wah itself, it is a very great effort. It is a great effort. And this da'wah, we should give it with hikmah, with the wisdom, and show the people, the community, the non-Muslim, the reality, the true, what is Islam, what is the true religion of Islam is all about. Because we should remember that we are the ambassadors of truth. Therefore, we must spread this truth. We must show the people exactly what is this religion of Islam is all about. Because our ustaz used to tell us that, you know, when you go out, you finish, become farigh in madrasa, people are not going to ask you about this, or dharaba, yadribu, this sarf, and nahu and stuff. But people want to see your character. People want to see your character. This is what people want to see from us.
Important, yeah.
And if we show the true religion of Islam, the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the Muslim, to the non-Muslims, they will definitely become attracted towards the religion of Islam. And we should carry on also making efforts on our families. This maktab system also is very, very important. Because if we don't focus on this maktab system, down the line, some people will come and bluff our children, bluff our progeny, and then from there, Islam will vanish. Our children will remain with just name. There will be no religion, no Islam in them. But if this maktab, maktab system is installed in the lives of our children, and ta'alim at home, the effort of Emmanuel is done, and then inshallah, Islam will remain strong in our homes, in our family, inshallah.
Inshallah. Allah sab jazakum Allah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala use you for His deen. Allah use us all for His deen. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala really use us for this wonderful, noble work. This is the responsibility, like you said, that we're ambassadors on this earth, inshallah, to propagate the true message of Islam. Jazakum Allah. And all the best, Maulana sir.
Amen. Jazakumullah khairan.
Maulana, just before we let you go, Maulana, just one question you mentioned regarding the true religion of Islam, how we can portray that. And you mentioned that previously, before you accepted the religion of Islam, you said that you thought this religion of Islam is only for Indians. So why you had this thought in mind that this religion of Islam is only for Indians? And then what made you overcome this thinking of yours? And for those people that are listening, how we can explain to other people that this religion of Islam is not only for Indians, but it's rather for the universe and for the entire world, Maulana?
Okay. It's only when I came out and left my town, and when I came to Madrasa, and when I found out there are a lot of brothers from Africa. In fact, I didn't know that there are most of the countries in Africa, there are a lot of Muslim in our African continent. Then by studying these hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then through that also I realized and I came to know that no, even in the time of Nabi Sallam, they were Africans, you know. So this is not just the religion of certain nation or tribe.
Jazakallah, Maulana, we really appreciate that you have taken out your time and come here to the built-in studios of Radio Islam that we are sitting at the edge of the Istimaya in Ladysmith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you and take the work of deen from you and make a means, use you for other people accepting Islam as well. Jazakallah, Maulana.
Ameen, ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was Maulana Ibrahim Dladla of Stengel coming to the studios of Radio Islam and sharing his experience regarding the journey of Islam. After accepting Islam, Maulana went to the Chatsworth Madrasa and became Alim, and now mashallah Maulana is doing work. Now before we conclude Maulana Muhammad Kara and before we end up today's programming, let's cross over to Maulana Junaid Karsani. Maulana Junaid Karsani will be hosting the final program from the edge of the Istima for this afternoon from 4 till 6 p.m. Let's ask Maulana what our listeners can expect in the afternoon. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mali Suhaib and Mala Kara, jazakumullah khairan for having me to introduce the afternoon segment, the 4 to 6 segment of what we can expect on Radio Islam International from the edge of the Ijtima. Inshallah, we have Maulana Bilal Islam, who is an ustad in Madrasa Nomania, who alhamdulillah is a very, very active brother. 1 year Sati, who has returned, also a revert to Islam, a new Muslim, who alhamdulillah from there went on to the Darul Uloom and is making alhamdulillah tremendous inroads in the local community in Durban, especially amongst the newly graduated indigenous ulama. He's seen as an elder amongst them, alhamdulillah, and we have him as well. Also, we want to shed some light on the campus fikr. The students here who have attended alhamdulillah the KZN Ijtima from the former universities, which we would know as UDW, now known as the University of Natal Westville Campus, and Howard College, that's the one in Glenwood area, as well as the Peter Maritzburg College and the various other educational centers, they are here alhamdulillah in force. So we have inshallah a segment with them to discuss how the campus fikr is going. Also the reversion rate alhamdulillah of people who are reverting to Islam on campus, as as well as joining in the fikr and concern of deen. We will hear from them as well. And of course, I wanted to of course focus on the intizam of the ijtima. We are approaching the end, or the last, the other half, former half, the latter half of the ijtima. So by now, alhamdulillah, all the intizamat jamaat are set. The security intizam, the istiqbal jamaat, the cooking jamaat. We have representatives from every one of them to discuss a bit about the intizam of the jamaat and how they have made a full attempt to make their guests welcome in the city of Ladysmith from here at the edge of the ijtima. Over to you, Mawlana Suhaib.
Wonderful, Jazakallah. Inshallah, we look forward to listening to your jam-packed program in the afternoon. That will be the final slot that will be taking place this afternoon from the edge of the ijtima with Mawlana Junaid Karsani. Mawlana Muhammad Kala, before we conclude, and our time is almost up, we'll just the concluding remarks, one or two verses regarding the Quran and with regards to the importance of da'wat and tabligh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there has to be a group of people from amongst you who will call people towards good and prevent from evil. And then another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in utterance than the one who called people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he acts righteously and says, I am one of those who submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. He says, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whosoever witnesses a forbidden act being committed, he should prevent it by the use of his hands. If he is unable to do so, then he should prevent it with the use of his tongue. And if he is unable to do so, then he should at least consider that act to be a vice in his heart. And this is a very low form of iman. So from Quran and Hadith, we learn the importance of da'wat and tabligh. And we can see the benefits of da'wat and tabligh. Many people's lives has changed with this, for them to involve in this work of da'wat and tabligh. And the outcome of tabligh is anyone with a sound mind and fair thinking will have no option but to accept that the work of tabligh has been been responsible to a great extent in the reformation that has taken place in the Muslim Ummah. In the last few decades, if you see that tabligh jamaat has played a big role in the establishment of madrasas, in the last few years we see Darul Ulooms, madrasas that are cropping up, and similarly it has influenced many Muslim men and women in adapting their attire and appearance according to the Sunnah and according to the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It acts as a deterrent for the Muslim youth from going to cinemas, going to nightclubs, going to raves and all other places of sin. It prevents a person from committing any form of sins, and who have drowned in sin have now become the means of spreading Islam. And tabligh jamaat also plays an important role in preaching Islam to those who have ever forgotten the kalima, like those staying in the remote areas, those that don't even know how to recite the kalima. Tabligh jamaat goes to them walking, whether in conveyance, and goes to them and reminds them about the kalima. And we also learn that many non-Muslims have also accepted Islam through this noble effort of tabligh. Mawlana Kara, over to you.
Jazakallah for your bayan, Mawlana Sahib. Inshallah, you can give the main bayan tonight, Mawlana Suhaib Sahib. Concluding remarks, inshallah, we conclude with the advices of Mawlana Yusuf Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, that Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made an effort which changed every man's way of life. It was his earning, his eating, it was his weddings, his meetings, his dealings. And basically the aim of tabligh, Mawlana Sahib says, is to revive that effort on the pattern of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we end, inshallah, with a quote of Mawlana Ahmad Lad Sahib, Damat Barakatum, that Allah say kam ki basirat mang ne chaye, that we got to continuously ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the understanding of this wonderful work of tabligh. May Allah use us, utilize us for his deen, inshallah, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us da'is illallah. We'd also like to thank our entire team, inshallah, on my left hand side, our bodyguard Mawlana Suhaib, Mawlana Pir Ali Sahib, Brother Nu'man Banjwai, Brother Tufail, and Brother Muhammad Amin. Jazakallah, special thanks to you guys.
Jazakallah, Mawlana, to yourself, Mawlana Muhammad Kara, for being a wonderful host also. When you're around and there's no shortage of any content or anything, mashallah, you keep us going. And Jazakallah for your experience being the longest serving presenter. We benefit tremendously from your experience. And also to our another presenter, Mawlana Junaid Karsani, drove all the way from KZN. A presenter from KZN will be, inshallah, in your company from 4 till Maghrib, inshallah. And just to recap what we covered this morning, and what you can expect in the afternoon, also in the morning. Firstly, we started off with Maulana Imran Khamisa. Maulana spoke regarding the importance of Dawat and Tabligh, and also regarding responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we had Maulana Yusuf Seder from Darul Khair. Maulana is a resident of Ladysmith. He spoke regarding the history of Ladysmith, the contribution of ulama, and also briefly regarding the historical masjid that is situated here in Ladysmith, Sufi Darbar. Then also Maulana Mahmoud Yaqub of Sanha came in, and Maulana shed some light regarding Haji Baipadia Rahmatullah Ali, his fond memories with Haji Baipadia Rahmatullah Ali. And then we had two brothers. One was a new Muslim, and one was a brother Qabil, and other brother who was Bali, known as Walid. He came in, he shared his experience and his journey towards Islam. And then finally we had Maulana Ibrahim Dladla of Stengam, and Maulana's acceptance of Islam, how Maulana's family accepted Islam, and the message that he has for our Muslims and the listeners of Radio Islam. So that's what we had this morning and also the afternoon from the edge of the Istima in Ladysmith. And do tune in once again from 4 p.m. where you will have Maulana Junaid Karsani, and we'll be concluding with Maulana Junaid Karsani. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsor, Brother Ismail Mohsin Mullah of Spice World Ladysmith, for making it possible, because of his generous contribution, making it possible for us to broadcast here from the edge of the Istima. Brother Ismail Mohsin Mullah has a Spice World shop in Ladysmith, number 375 Merchant Street, inside Right Price. And also for the Isale Thawab of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my father, grandparents, and all the marhumins, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So that brings us to the end of the first segment of our outside broadcast for the Sunday morning. And do tune in for the final segment and the last segment of this Ijtima with Maulana Junaid Karsani after 4 p.m. And we say Jazakallahu Khairan to Maulana Peer Ali, Brother Noman Panjbaya, Muhammad Amin, and to Phil Patel, and from myself, Suhaib Lasania, and our engineer in Lanesia, Hafiz Hanzala. Till next time, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.